I don't have a cold open. We might have a cold open. We'll see.
Hold
We'll figure it out
on.
later.
Joe. Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Joe.
Yes.
You ready to do this?
Do it, shall we?
Let's hit it.
Let's do it. Let's
Ew.
do
Do it.
it. Hey!
Let's do it.
Go.
Yeah, do it.
Welcome to the Nerdentials Podcast. Starring your hosts, Joe Tweedy, Matthew Johnson, Nick Thomas, and Lynn Dudgeon.
Welcome to Nerdentials, your weekly dose of the nerdy essentials covering film, TV, video games, and comic books. I'm your host, Joe Tweedy, and tonight, joining me just across the way over the Ethernet, is my co-host, the Lynn Dudgeon.
Hey, what up?
What is up, my friend? How's it going, Lynn?
It's going good. I mean, busy with work, but can't complain.
Nonstop, right? Hey, we're saving up for that December adventure, are we not?
Yeah, our trip to Toledo.
Our trip to Toledo, wink, wink. If you guys heard last week, we hinted and explained what that means. So go check out episode 73 if you're curious. It's all in the intro. We won't entertain the idea any further because, guys, here's the long short of it. We are short two nerds tonight. I know. I shed a small tear for my brethren as they are either dealing with family or work. And specifically tonight, we don't know what's going on with Nick. We're hoping he joins us in the middle of this. Maybe. Guys, cross your fingers, maybe he does.
Fingers crossed.
But second shout out goes to the ginger, Matthew. He unfortunately is unfortunately caught up in work this evening. So he is definitely out tonight.
He sold his soul to the work.
Whatever soul that may be, Lynn, that's still up for debate. I'm kidding.
It may belong to Kia, but it was a soul.
It was, and he still drives one, so there's still hope, I guess. Yeah, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But that being said, nerds, it's just gonna be me and Lynn, but we do have a heavy topic to cover tonight with a lot of details. But first, I would like to quickly throw out there a little bit of housekeeping. If you guys are new to the podcast, we do occasionally get some new viewership, Lynn. I think it'd be only studious of us to let them know where else they can catch this crazy nerdy content. Fair enough?
I don't know. It might be worth a Google.
It might be. And I'll throw this out there, guys. If you Google Nerdentials, you'll find a lot of things. But
definitely avoid the prawn links.
A lot of our things. But let me summarize it for you new viewers and listeners. Guys, if you want to catch this podcast, you'll find it anywhere you listen to podcasts. We are on Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and Apple iTunes, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. I know, crazy, right?
Hey.
But on top of all that, guys, we also cover a lot of video game content, movie reviews, trailer reactions. We also write up occasional articles on a semi-consistent basis. And if you want to find all of those wonderful nerdy perspectives, you can go to a very specific location where you'll find all of it, including tonight's episode. Guys, go to nerdentialsmedia.com. That's right, folks. Nerdentialsmedia.com. That's where you'll literally find everything. Also, for a quick search, Lynn, They can just go to YouTube and look up Nerdentials, and they will find most everything that we put out.
Wait, YouTube.com?
YouTube.com/C/Nerdentials if you want to get right to it.
.com.
.com. The echoes remain ever present in this intro. Thank you, Lynn.
I feel like you need more .com.
Could there be? I don't know, Lynn. Could there be some more? I think we need to tone it down before we lose.
Right. Yeah.
Before we lose any listeners.
Probably continue on with the housekeeping.
Guys.
We're also on the Twitter.
We're on the Twitters and the Facebooks and the Instagrams under the same name, Nerdentials. If you have any reason to message us or just check out the weekly posts that we put out there, there's content to be had. So, that being said, thank you for joining us tonight. This is Nerdentials Podcast episode number 74, Lynn. We are 3/4 of the way to 100 episodes. Well, one episode short of 3/4 of the way to episode 100. We're almost there. We're almost there. And guys, as it has been, we've been going on a weekly stronghold of a Tuesday, Wednesday release every week. We usually get ourselves out there at that time. So check back every week because we are putting out the latest and greatest in pop culture news. And we try to review as many things as we can when it comes to TV, video games, and movies. We try our best. Guys, let's get into the swing of things. We've got a very heavy topic this week. If you saw in the title or the thumbnail today when you clicked on this episode, you would see that we are going to be very heavily talking about streaming services. One specific service. But I want to open up with a quick little segue that will lead us into streaming services. Lynn, if you'll oblige me for a moment. The main thing here is TV talk, because this is about TV streaming services. So let's throw out the bumper there for today's topic. Let's get into TV talk. Guys, welcome to TV Talk. That is the bulk of today's episode, until further notice. But that being said, we're going to be talking about streaming services specifically. We've got a lot of things that have just come out at the time of this recording, and things that are on their way. And things that are on their way out, as it were. Specifically, let me give our listeners and viewers a little scope. So, this fall, we've got Disney Plus launching on the 12th. This episode will be out before the 12th. It'll be out probably in the next couple days at the time of this recording. But as of right now, we are recording on Friday night, November 1st. And as of November 1st, guys, something I've talked about in the past is Apple TV Plus has officially launched. Now, today and tonight, we're not going to review any of the shows that have premiered, but purely because I'm overwhelmed with how much is coming out. I haven't had time to watch these things, but I wanted to put a little side note out there. Some of the series we covered in our D23 episode, where we covered all the Disney announcements for the next couple years. Some things we also announced with Apple TV that was coming out is that Apple they don't have a huge catalog to work with, but they're trying to get into the streaming service. So what they have done is they've procured over the last year a few original series that they're trying to launch and they're going to eventually expand their library, and they're coming in at a very affordable price of $5 a month to compete against everyone else that's all these big wigs, you know, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Netflix, right? So among some of the series that have launched today, we have the Jason Momoa starring fantasy series called C, where several centuries after a cataclysmic event, 2 million people on the entire planet Earth have survived, but everyone on Earth has lost their sight because of this crazy virus that happened, right? So, very intriguing story. That launched today. There's this sci-fi outer space show that launched today. There's a drama series called, I think it's like Newsroom or something. It's kind of like a morning talk show. And it's kind of like the cutthroat industry of morning talk shows. And it stars Steve Carell, Reese Witherspoon, and Jennifer Aniston. That launched today, and two more other shows, kind of small in nature, launched all today on November 1st for Apple TV+. Now, what's kind of cool about Apple is that on top of trying to come in at $5 a month to compete against all these other guys, the first three episodes, each one of these shows is an hour long. And each of these series on day one of the launch of this have been offered for viewing. So three episodes from each show. And then after that, it's going to be a weekly release. So they're like an hour long series, drama sitcoms that are coming out once a week. But we can binge the first three episodes. Apple also offers a 7-day free trial. So, you know, this weekend, if you want to hop on, you can binge all these things. But if you don't sign on, they are offering each pilot of these series as a free episode as a way of enticing you to check out the subscription service. So,
no way.
You guys, if you know us and you've heard me, I'm currently binging CW superhero stuff in light of a crossover happening in December. I've been overwhelmed with trying to catch up on that. I did catch a few minutes of one of the shows. I won't get into it today. Next week, I'll probably review a couple of these shows. But that's where Apple's at. Apple has launched their service today. Disney Plus is launching on the 12th. Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon are still going strong with their services. And we're going to talk about today how Warner Media, a.k.a. Warner Brothers, a.k.a. DC, that whole conglomerate is also launching a series. And those not familiar, Warner Brothers owns HBO. So just to give you a little bit of a teaser of what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about HBO Max, which is the official service title that they're calling it for what they're going to launch next spring, or more realistically, the end of spring 2020. So we've got a few months before they launch their service. We'll talk about what they're going to offer. But on a side note, in today's news, it's just a brief little excerpt on a service that's been going for about 4 years now, Lynn. You're familiar with them, but it sounds like as of this week, with Apple launching, HBO Max coming next summer, and all these other big, huge companies launching services and going strong, that a certain company known as Sony has decided to maybe pull the plug on their attempt at a streaming service. So, as of this week, of the time of this recording, Sony had a TV streaming service called Sony View, V-U-E, Sony View, and they're going to keep the subscription going until the end of the year. But when are they going to end it? Go ahead, Lynn.
No. Okay, so anyone who has a current active subscription, it will go through the 30th of January, 2020.
Okay.
But
yeah,
you can't. I you think can't
renew.
Come January 1st, no one will be able to subscribe to it.
Right, which makes sense, because if they're going to pull out, they don't want to let anyone else subscribe more than 1 month worth past the time they're going to cut it off.
And currently, the cheapest plan is $50 a month. Which is
a little... Are you sure?
Yeah, that's what it says. It says at this the service price. Oh, okay. Over the course of the year, the cheapest plan is $50
for so a year subscription. Year,
yeah, right, the right. Yearly subscription is $50.
Right. But you can't do the annual subscription.
Yeah, you can't do the annual subscription anymore. So it, I'd assume it's like what, $5? Maybe
between 5 and 10, somewhere between that. Yeah. But guys, the bottom line is that at the time, 4 years ago, to be fair, Sony came in before their time trying to offer a cord cutting service, as we've talked about over the last year and a half, of services where, hey, stop paying for cable, stop paying for satellite, go ahead, cut your cords, pay for this service where we offer X amount of channels and shows.
Yeah.
And they tried to make it work, but the thing is, dude, all these huge hitting names that we've been talking about over the last 6 months.
In the recent like and upcoming future, with all the streaming services, it's kind of gotten rough for them. And, you know, my brother-in-law, Joe, he paid into Sony View, and he did have it because he had Apple TV for a while, and then his Apple TV kind of
crapped out,
took a dump on him. And so he's an avid PlayStation player, as I am half the time lately, but
It made sense for him at the time.
Yeah. I mean, he keeps his PlayStation out in the living room, so why not buy into the View? Because what are our options out here? We don't get the option of Comcast or any of the other big name cable TV services. I get Dish and DirecTV. Those are the only two options we really get.
Right.
So he bought into Sony View, and honestly, it was a fair comparison to some of the other ones, but I mean, it was a mix of like Hulu and a few of the other streaming services that were out there at the time, which was kind of nice, because he wasn't super limited to one network, and he wasn't super limited to another network. He could get bits and pieces from each one. So it was kind of a plethora or cornucopia, dare I say, of TV shows and genres from multiple networks.
It made sense at the time, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
but like you're saying, with the dawning of the streaming service era, as it seems like it's more encroaching upon us, that it's kind of pointless to have one that blankets all and only gives you bits and pieces of each. Like it's like the sprinkles on top. But
well, and Sony has said as much, that like if they like, you know, third-party apps like Hulu and Netflix, they're not going to go away on the PlayStation. It's just like the cable access side of PlayStation View is going to go away, because they're not making enough money trying to maintain it.
Yeah, they deemed it pointless. It was kind of a money sink, and they weren't really. It was already circling the drain.
Right.
And right. It's the upkeep, honestly, on the licenses is probably what was so painful to them, especially with each company coming out with their own streaming service, which is kind of daunting and scary, you know, in the future, because what's gonna happen to cable and dish? You know what I mean?
Well, and that's the cusp of our main topic here. Like, well, we're gonna branch off into something specific today, but if we reflect on the last four or five iterations of streaming services that have recently become available over the last 6 months, something like Sony View or even some of the smaller groups that have tried to take their stake or claim. Someone smaller that I don't think is completely out of the game yet, but they are on a smaller scale. Epics, for instance, EPIX, that is a $5 a month service that offers a lot of really minimal offerings as far as movies and shows go. They're kind of like PlayStation View at the moment, but they are surprisingly putting out some original content to try to stick around, and we'll see how they fare in the next 6 months. You know, once Disney launches and Warner Media, which Warner Brothers that we're going to cover today is a huge player in the game space of TV streaming. You know, Epix, for instance, Epix has Pennyworth. Which actually, just on a side note, Pennyworth is a Batman-based universe storyline that's kind of like a prequel to everything about Batman, and it's focused on Alfred Pennyworth, the butler. And when we first heard announcements about this over a year ago, a lot of people laughed at the idea of, like, how could you string a service about the butler of Batman? But I don't know if you've heard much about it yet, Lynn, but so far season one actually has turned out phenomenal. It's actually been a surprise gem for the streaming service of Epix. And it's a prequel that takes place during, like, I want to say World War One or Two, kind of like the 50s era of Alfred, before he got into the service of being a private, what do you want to say, security or protector, which Bruce Wayne eventually hires him to be. But they've ordered a season two because season one did so well. Like, just throwing this out there, if you didn't know that, I actually want to try the free trial and binge the 8-episode series that they've put out there. And there's two other series that have done well, but I don't know all the details on those at the moment. But Epix is one of those services that's really small, that's trying to put their neck out there to make something of themselves. And that's up in the air by the end of this year as to how well it's going to do stacked up to anything else that's currently launching. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but my concern with the whole streaming service idea is so we're gonna forego cable television and we're gonna forego dish, and people are gonna have to buy into all these streaming services. At what point do we start dumping too much money into streaming services to get access to all the things that we want to watch? And do we start losing, you know, we start not paying attention to the upkeep of our entertainment income, and we start losing money to the services that are subtracting from our accounts in the background? Do you get what I'm getting at? I'm gonna want to watch Disney. I'm gonna want to watch TBS. I'm gonna want to watch FX. I'm gonna want to watch HBO. I'm gonna want to watch, you know, all the stuff on the CW. I'm gonna want to all this other stuff. So, you know, come 2023 or 2025, I've got 30 streaming services deducting $7 a month from my account. $7 a month for 30 streaming services. That bite out of my paycheck, it just,
well,
ouch. And then on top of that, all of the upkeep for my gaming services, like
which are now becoming a thing,
like my PlayStation Plus, my Xbox Gold, my Gamer Pass, my, you know, fucking, well, my Switch, my Nintendo Switch subscription. What? It's just the monthly upkeeps. It's like the route that all gaming companies are going to of loot boxes to try and make money. It's like,
well, but the, oh wait, you say loot boxes, but as a site,
when do I stop having fun?
Here's the thing. I get what you're saying.
I'm completely. To have fun.
Everyone that's listening right now is asking those same questions.
When do I stop having fun? When does the money run out? When does the bubble burst? When do I start making choices to what I want to watch or what I want to play?
Well, here's the thing, Lynn.
What I'm loyal to or what I'm not loyal to. Do I bring politics into the matter? Do I not bring politics into the matter? Do I make your business choices my business choices as to what I invest my money into?
Let me throw out a couple points that can kind of stir the pot of thought. Because that's the whole point of our show. We bring up what's out there in hopes of stirring up conversation.
I get it.
And I mean
my Twitter name is Pay to Have Fun. So let's go.
Yeah. In my opinion. At this point, I'll bring up a good point to look at. I don't think you ever have to pull away from that idea as a consumer. Pay to have fun, because that's where the industry and the world as a whole is kind of steering towards when we look at like the big picture of everything that's turning to a subscription base now. Let me just validate the personal concern and then pose another question.
Yeah, continue with what you're going on.
So to stimulate everyone's thought, which you already did by posing that question of like, where do I go? How much do I end up paying for? Do I have to get all these things? And I guess the challenge here is with all these services, it's not just, okay, all these big name companies are now sequestering their specifically owned content to a set service, which is what is happening. But at the end of the day, on the one hand, we knew early on, over a year or 2 years ago, that the industry was steering towards a air quotes a la carte style service. But here's the difference, and I'll pose a couple questions here. So at the beginning, when we said, hey, this will be awesome, things are going towards an a la carte style where we pick and choose what to watch. I know you're shaking your head, and you're right to do so because of what we're seeing unfold here.
Yeah.
Now, to paint the picture of those not familiar with what was thought of beforehand, we thought when cord cutting services were happening, you know, YouTube Premium, Netflix, Hulu, we thought Oh, sweet. We're going to, yes, we're going to pick and choose what we want and not have to pay as much as the cable service would. Because
cable TV.
Right, because the DirecTV, satellite, and cable, the way it works is they give you, as an example, I'm not being specific, just giving you a broad perspective.
Yeah.
Those services said, hey, for this much a month, you get 100 channels. For this much a month, you get 200 channels, blah, blah, blah. And for the most part, those concepts a year ago were like, well, crap, I only watch a quarter of these channels. I wish we could go to an a la carte system where I could pick and choose the networks I want to watch and then pay only for those channels. And that was the dream at the time. The way the industry has steered is now all these big name companies, Warner, Microsoft, Sony, Netflix, Amazon, I mean, I'm trying to shrink it down to just like the big names out there, but
yeah.
Each of those big names were like, yeah, that's a great idea. We'll group all of our IPs that we own and make it a service off of that. And that started happening with like Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon being like, or at the time, the three big hitters at the time. Now, what happened over the last few months is that someone big like Disney bought up a couple more properties. They bought up 20th Century Fox. They as of right now, own 100% of Hulu. And
Hold up. I've got to give a shout out to one of our co-hosts.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of called it when he said that it was a bad idea that Disney was buying up all of these things, but that was Nicholas.
Right. So, like, hopefully he can join us in a future episode to give his thoughts on the current thing now, that's going on.
I see where you're going, and can I throw this out there?
Go ahead.
What we really want as a consumer and a capitalist based economy is we really want a Subway for our TV indulging purposes. We want to build our own cable provider service.
Yeah.
But what we're getting is like a Jimmy John's or a Quiznos where there's a pre-selected list. And within that list, you get certain things on your list.
Right.
And if you want more, you got to pay extra for the other sandwich, which is not on your list. And then you get all that extra filler on your sandwich on top of the stuff you want to watch. So it's kind of, we're back to the same scenario of cable and dish, where we have all these channels and we really don't watch everything on them. So like, here's my example. So we buy into like, say the Disney Plus service and we're really hardcore Star Wars fans. Like I know a few of us are. We don't care about all the Disney Plus, like, the Disney XD, all the kids' TV shows. We're in it for the more adult stuff, like the, you know, like the Mandalorian, the Star Wars stuff, the hardcore Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
We don't want all the other filler stuff that comes with our subscription to Disney Plus.
Right.
But we're getting all those extra carbs there and we're forced to eat them. So we're like, om nom nom, carbs. And then we buy into the HBO, the Max service. We're like, so we're getting our Game of Thrones. We're getting our other stuff attached to our Westworld, our other couple adult TV shows that we want to watch. but we don't want all that other filler that's in there, so we're eating our carbs on that one too. Om nom nom. And then, you know,
yeah,
you're not really getting to pick and choose what you want, because you're picking and choosing those few services that you do have shows you're interested in, and you're still getting filler that you don't want. It's not really picking and choosing, but yeah, you're paying for it.
Yeah. Right. And but the thing is, Lynn, is what are these corporations who are secluding all their IPs to a singular service? What are they doing, or what are they trying to do that is thematic between all these services? What are each of these services trying to do to get you needing their service? Aside from offering, oh, this one service has my favorite show. HBO has Game of Thrones. Sweet. Oh, Warner Media is putting out, they have all the CW shit. Okay, I need that. Oh, they got Friends in the Big Bang Theory. Now I need Warner's Media. Oh, wait, but Hulu has, oh my goodness, they have these specific shows. Aside from all that back and forth polling against our desires, which they're doing a good job of already, what else are they doing that is pulling at the broader audience that maybe isn't locked in to the IPs that these companies own? What are they doing in addition to locking us into our favorite shows? What else are they doing that's pulling us in? Do you get where, you know where I'm going with this?
Kind of. And I want to call it a sucker hole.
Okay, but give us a broad term.
If we're being honest, it's a sucker hole, and it's called original.
Snap! That's what they're doing. They're not just pulling all our favorite content into secluded subscriptions, but they're also promising a lot of high budget, high end, original content under every service. So for the purposes of being like, here's a new show that you've never seen, and you can only see it by subscribing to this service. Like, holes. Yeah. So like, okay, HBO next summer is going to get Friends and The Big Bang Theory, being two of the hugest properties in the last 10 years for like general sitcoms, comedy sitcoms, you know, and for the 30 something year olds that love those shows, okay, we're only going to get it on this service. Okay. But you know what? Hold on. Netflix is
HBO thing.
Okay. What?
I was going to say, I can't count how many times this year alone, 2019, Robin and I have started the Friends series from the beginning all the way to the end, and then gone back and started again on Netflix just to find out that it's not going to be on Netflix anymore.
Yep. So that, you know, there are two separate battles happening here. One being, you know, our pride and joy IPs that are getting yanked around because of contracts. But then, so then Netflix is like, okay, what is Netflix going to do to keep those guys around if they're losing those two things? Well, guess what? Netflix has been on this path for over 5 years plus. They've been on the path of creating original content to assure that they'll keep us around just for their stuff, because Netflix doesn't own Marvel stuff, they don't own Disney stuff, they don't own Warner Brothers stuff. They have contracts for those shows, and that's what lured us in early on. But Netflix has been slowly backing that game up by trying to put out original stuff that gets us in there just as much.
Altered Carbon and Love, Death, and Robots.
And on a more recent note, Stranger Things.
Well, yeah, Stranger Things, but the two, Altered Carbon and Love, Death, and Robots, are the ones that I would pay for Netflix for. And,
right.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, obviously the Stranger Things, which I haven't had time to get into season three for shame. Sorry. You know,
that don't even matter in this argument, because it just means that yet you still have a reason.
Yeah.
You still have many reasons to stick around for Netflix.
They also had what? They've got The Witcher coming out. There was Castlevania. Yeah. And then there's like a giant list of Netflix originals that are good.
That are good and that are coming. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And
I'm not even gonna lie.
There are things on the Amazon Prime service that are good as well.
Yeah, me and Nick have over the last few weeks of this podcast, we've reviewed several original shows that are almost practically worth the price of admission alone just to be around for Amazon. And when we covered D23 3 weeks ago, we listed off a major list of Marvel Disney original stuff that even if you weren't going to go to that service because of childhood nostalgia, which they've already latched onto those people, they're also promising a crap load of original stuff that you won't see anywhere else.
Well, I mean, I don't shamelessly. I would dump money into it just for The Mandalorian alone.
Which, to my point, is an original series.
Sorry, not sorry.
No, exactly. No one's...
Okay, in my defense, it is a genre, a category, and a series that I am very vested into. I mean, I've got his freaking face tattooed on my arm.
Yes.
So
I know. Let's go, Lynn. So,
let's go.
So here's the thing. We're going to move into a more specific news topic here in a minute. This whole first half of our episode is basically to give you guys perspective on the state of streaming, and it's how it's basically not going to let up anytime soon. That's kind of the conclusion of this whole topic.
No,
right?
No. Here's my conclusion: is be smart about the things you invest in, and don't try to overspend.
I would say this, Lynn, to add to your comment, I would say the only people that are truly going to be suffering in 2020 are going to be content creators. Content creators like us, YouTubers, media, IGN, people like them, people like us, who are trying their hardest to cover all these things coming out. It's still a battle. I'm not dismissing that fans of all these things are still going to struggle on what do we pick.
You got to be smart.
Right. So to the general consumer, Lynn and me agree. Be smart about what you get into. Pick and choose your battles. But for my own plight, I would say as someone who's trying to cover everything for the sake of being topical and growing our audience and doing the pop culture coverage, we're really struggling to try to keep track of everything coming out that just is just flooding over us. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's not even that. It's just don't try to bite off more than you can chew. I don't want to see people going broke over all the streaming services, because I can see it going that route, and that's pretty ugly.
Oh, Lynn, I know. I plead that warning to anyone listening or watching to us. I'm also saying, hey, sympathize with us because we're trying to cover it all. That's all. I'll leave it at that.
I will forever pay to have fun, though. I work hard to play hard.
That's right. Guys, I will let that wrap up our opinion piece, and we're going to divulge into some actual announcements. Our main topic for today, specifically pertaining to this episode, is we're going to go over what HBO Max is going to offer us come May 2020. So, that being said, Lynn, so, having divulged all our opinions about the circumstances of streaming, dear listeners, we have news out the ass about what more things coming out than we could possibly put time into. It's very unfair that we're doing this, but being such hardcore nerds and consumers of content, we do enjoy talking about them. So even if we can't possibly invest our lives into it, we can at least talk about it. I think that's fair enough to say. And I hope you guys enjoy the conversation as we dive into what they have announced for HBO Max, the streaming service lineup coming next spring. They say spring, but truthfully, it's going to be the tail end of spring. I think the official month is going to be May of 2020. It's not listed here in my notes, but that is what I've heard across several articles I've read, is it's going to be close to May by the time this service launches officially. So like the tail end of spring. Fiscal year spring, April, May, whatever. Okay, fair enough. Anyway, so before we dive into the titles of the shows and who's involved, I will give you guys a very quick rundown of what HBO Max will entail as far as the services and IPs involved. So, as of this week, they released through a couple articles that the Warner Media streaming service will debut in spring of 2020 with, they're claiming, around 10,000 hours of content to consume, including, and their highlights in this article were popular hits like Friends and The Big Bang Theory, which we heard a couple months ago that Netflix was going to lose Friends and The Big Bang Theory because their contracts with Netflix were going to be up, and here we go. Warner Media is reclaiming them as highlights for kicking off their streaming service, and rightly so if they want to entice fans and fans of nostalgia, because Friends on its own has 10 seasons, and The Big Bang Theory is getting ever closer to that record high for a 25-minute comedy sitcom. Correct me if I'm wrong, Lynn. I haven't been keeping up on Big Bang Theory, but I think they're past season 8 or on season 8 right now. And they signed on for 3 seasons last year, so they're going to go to at least season 10.
They're past it.
Yeah. Yeah, so it sounds like we're going to get 2 comedy sitcoms, one from the 90s and one from the present day, and both we're going to get about 10 seasons worth by the end of, you know, next year. But that's what they're launching with. That's their little highlight there. Other details include, here we go, guys. The service will provide content from every branch of the Warner Media corporate tree. And if you guys were unfamiliar with what all Warner Brothers owns, these are the different networks that Warner Brothers owns. This service will include things from HBO, Warner Brothers themselves, New Line Cinema, DC Entertainment, CNN, TNT, TBS, True TV, The CW, Turner Classic Movies, Cartoon Network, Adult Swim, Crunchyroll for all you anime fanatics out there, Rooster Teeth, and the very classic Looney Tunes. These are all the crazy number of properties that Warner Media as a corporation owns, and not in their entirety, but good chunks of each of these categories will be available on the streaming service. Now, they're claiming half the service is aimed at the young adult audience, while the remaining half will be split between kids and family content and adult fare outside of the HBO brand. So we don't know the detail. We don't know what that means at this point, but I don't know for sure if Game of Thrones or Westworld titles like those, I don't know if any of those are going to come across, because it seems to me like they're still going to sell HBO as its own service. And I figure a lot of analysts are saying, a lot of industry analysts are estimating or hypothesizing that Warner Media may include services like HBO and Showtime as bundle options. For instance, if you buy Hulu, if you're just a Hulu subscriber, they will bundle, I believe they bundle HBO as an added service, or Showtime. Like, for a couple bucks more, you can have it bundled with Hulu. So I think Warner Media is going the same route, where you can bundle like the hardcore HBO stuff with this if you add a couple more bucks to the service. Because, hey, yeah, go ahead, Lynn.
Can I update you on the Big Bang Theory thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Tuesday, November 5th at 7 p.m., episode 14 of season 12 will air.
Holy crap, I'm behind, Lynn.
Right? Oh, you and me both, guy. And then apparently on the same day at 7:30, episode 15 will air.
Okay. So they've surpassed the Friends 10 season run by a while. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, by a little while.
Woo! Well, congratulations to Big Bang Theory. Wow. Anyway, so yeah, you're gonna get a lot from Friends and Big Bang Theory as being comedy staples.
Episode 16 is called D&D Vortex too. That's kind of awesome.
I don't know why I ever fell off. I love the Big Bang Theory. I do.
It's good.
But anyway, that's a little bit of news slash a little bit of speculation on my part, because it says. There will be adult content in HBO Max, but it does not include the staples from HBO proper, like the HBO brand. So things like Game of Thrones and Westworld are still going to be part of HBO Go and HBO Now, which on its own is a $15 a month service. My guess is Warner Media HBO Max will offer for a couple dollars more the inclusion of HBO. You know what I mean? They're gonna find ways to package it, and they're gonna make us pay $20 a month to have both. You know they're gonna do that, right, Lynn? I know you're like squinting your eyes, but you know they're gonna do that.
And I know
it's painful to admit.
Like, I'm watching the list per month just go up, and it's like,
I know, dude. I know. Dude, I can't afford this crap, but it's gonna have CW stuff, and there's
nobody got money for that.
No, dude, what sucks is, like, it says DC Entertainment as one of the properties that they include, but here's the thing, they have not announced, like, DC Universe is an app, $7 a month, it's its own thing with tons of original content, a community service that just launched last month, and they have their entire comic book library in that app. I've listened to a few podcasts. A lot of nerds out there are saying they feel like there's no announcement that they're going to get rid of the service, but there's also no announcement yet as to if it's going to be like a package deal. So like HBO, dude, I think they're going to find a way to incorporate or maybe merge. There's no announcements. It's too early. It's not coming out till next spring. They still have a few months to bring more news, more headlines. Like, oh, by the way, guess what? HBO Max is now going to include DC Universe. There's no announcements yet, but that's something that could happen.
For now, I will buy into the Disney.
You and me both, dude. That's all we're investing in.
And when Robin asks to go to HBO Max, I will tell her that she can pick up a few extra kids in daycare to pay for that. Because I know. No, do do.
I don't know how much overtime I'm going to have to work, dude. But if you get it first or I get it first, we'll have to share login info.
Right? It'll probably be me. I can't argue with Robin. There's no arguing.
So before we get into the deets of what they're launching within the first year, which is the bulk of what we're going to talk about here, they're promising 31 Max original series in the first year. That means in the first 12 months of this service, 31 original TV series will launch in the first year. That's insane.
But are they worth it, though?
Now, I will say this, Lynn. Agreed. I would say half of those we might not be interested in. So we're not going... We'll mention them, but we won't go in depth on every single one. We do have a full list here today in my notes. I painstakingly spent 2 hours curating this whole list.
You got the full list.
I got the full list. We won't cover everything. And some of the top, some of the titles don't have a lot of details yet. You know, they're early in development.
Gossip Girl redo. I'm totally done to watch that one.
And which one?
Nothing. I'm just messing with you. I haven't ever watched a single episode of Gossip Girl.
Yeah, that'll be one we skim over quickly. Not too many thoughts on that. But let's get into it. This first one. This first one I don't have a lot of invested interest in, but I do. But I am in love with the two leading actresses that are involved. So I'll just give the rundown on this one and we'll move on. This first show up for bid is called Americana. Who's involved? We have Lupita Nyong'o, who is an actress from the movies 12 Years a Slave and Star Wars The Force Awakens. She will star and executive produce, while Danai Gurira from Black Panther and The Walking Dead, a.k.a. Michonne, will write the pilot and serve as showrunner. So these two leading actresses, really powerful forces in the female African-American community of acting, are going to lead. Yeah, they're going to lead the charge in this show. And what we know about it is it's a straight-to-series order for an adaptation of Americana, which is a best-selling novel written by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. I apologize if I butchered that name. But not unlike Black Panther, the story has roots in Africa as it follows a woman born in Nigeria who leaves for America and her extraordinary experiences with love, heartache, adversity, and self-discovery. So it's going to be a heavy-set drama focusing on these two leading ladies. Fantastic. Great. I love culture. I love the fact that this is one of the bigger ones in the leading line up of original content. I love Lupita Nyong'o and I love Danai Gurira. I think they're going to do an incredible job wherever this story goes. And Lynn, if you ever want to interject or add a comment, go ahead and cut me off. I'll give you a few seconds in between each one I read off and we'll just keep going. You know what I'm saying?
No. I we'll probably check this one out because I have a feeling it'll end up like Get Out or Midsommar.
With... Yes, I love the Get Out. I did not get a chance to see Midsommar. But you said you saw it, didn't you?
Yes, I did see it, and it's a trip. You don't expect the movie to go where it goes, but like I said, I feel like with the writers of this being the people that you talked about, it will be something definitely worth checking out because
dude, I love powerful art and powerful acting, and I think there's going to be a lot of good stuff coming out of this series.
It might be a sleeper. All I'm saying, might be a sleeper. People don't really think about it, and then it sneaks up on people, and it's really great.
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying, and I agree, sir. Next up, I never saw the original Boondocks, but this looks like it's going to be a continuation of the animated series called The Boondocks. So let me just read off who's involved. You laugh. You want to say something or you want me to read through this first?
Ah, man, no. I watched the cartoon series growing up.
Did you like it?
Yes, I did. It's funny and it's very, I don't know, it's satirical, but it's...
Yeah.
On the same note, it's very much people don't take it seriously, but it's the truth. And
right, there's real topics being covered, yeah. but it's done with satire.
And one of the good voice actors from it recently passed away too, from the original Boondocks, which is kind of sad. But
sad day.
I remember watching him in the Wayne's Brothers TV show. He was mm-hmm. the father figure.
Nice, right. So, here, I'll read off who's involved. So, the original series starred Regina King, John Witherspoon, Gary Anthony Williams, and Cedric Yarbrough. But as far as we can tell, there hasn't been any word about whether or not they'll be returning to reprise their roles. What this particular series is about, it's a revival of the beloved Adult Swim series. The new Boondocks follows the adventures of self-proclaimed civil rights legend Robert Granddad Freeman and his two rambunctious grandsons, Huey and Riley. The family has recently moved to an idyllic community in suburban Maryland, only to see it taken over by the tyrannical Uncle Ruckus and his bizarre neo-fascist regime. Life under Ruckus turns out to be an everyday struggle to survive. The new content kicks off with a 50-minute special and will continue with two, air quote, reimagined seasons comprised of 24 total episodes, plus the entire 55-episode original run of the series will be available on HBO Max at launch. That's what we learned about this. So they're going to bring back all the original content on the service, and they're going to introduce us to a continuation of the ideas that originally were procured in the show. So interesting. Something to stick around for and check out at least. let's see. Moving on. I'll skim through these next two because I don't know too much about them. I know some of the people involved. But Cersei is a series involving Rick Jaffa and Amanda Silver from Planet of the Apes and Jurassic World, who will write and executive produce. And Cersei is the story of the banished nymph in Greek mythology who tried to seduce Odysseus, tracing her journey from an awkward nymph to a formidable witch, able to challenge gods, titans, and monsters alike. It doesn't specify if it's animated or live action. I assume if they don't say animated, it's probably going to be a live action thing.
It might be a mixed media.
It could be. There's a few shows down the list here that will be mixed media.
If it does follow the Iliad or the Odyssey, it will need to be mixed media.
Right. Yeah, this I like fantasy and historical fantasy, so this should be interesting. Hey.
Yeah. And next, if anybody has never read those books, hey, Goodreads.
It will take
you a while to get through them though.
And if any of our listeners are still in high school, I imagine you've brushed up on some of the concepts at least.
Or read the footnote.
I think they used to call them spark notes, but you didn't hear me say that.
Definitely don't do your book report on those.
No, you will miss some things. Next show up, College Girls. Only person involved is Mindy Kaling from The Mindy Project, also from the Steve Carell comedy show The Office. Will create and serve a showrunner, and it's a single camera comedy following three 18-year-old freshman roommates at Evermore College in Vermont. A bundle of contradictions and hormones, these sexually active college girls are equal parts lovable and infuriating. So look for a nice little semi-teen drama here. It's about college kids, but you know how that goes. All the teenage dramas we watch happen to be kids in college half the time. Yeah. You ever see The Mindy Project, Lynn? You ever watch that?
No.
Nah. Can't me neither.
Invest the time in. I apologize. I should give it the time of day. But
I haven't seen it either. I liked her in The Office. I heard The Mindy Project was funny. You know?
I'm saying, I'm investing time in things that I'm putting money into.
Right. It might be something we watch.
Yeah, maybe later down the line when I buy into it.
There's so much coming out, dude. It's going to be down the line. next up, something closer to our taste buds of interest, perhaps, in nerdom. We've got a show called DC Superhero High. Elizabeth Banks, Charlie's Angels, and Pitch Perfect 2 will produce the series. And it's a, quote, fresh comedy series about your favorite DC comic superheroes as they attend high school. Are you familiar at all, Lynn, with DC Superhero Girls? It was an animated series.
I was just going to ask that question.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be an actual live action series, but I'm thinking it'll probably be in the vein of said Superhero Girls, which my girls were absolutely in love with. And if you could stomach sitting through kids' television, there was a lot of comedy to be had, even for said parents. I don't know. There's not much known else about this other than it's going to be a high school comedy involving our DC superheroes. Could be funny. Could be fun. I don't know.
Now, riddle me this, Batman. Wasn't there a Disney Channel superhero high school show/movie?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. There was a satirical comedy on NBC or something like that called Powerless, which was a comedy about the attorneys and safety regarding superheroes.
No, this one was called Superhero High.
Ah, yeah. It wasn't DC related, but there was something similar of silly nature. I don't
okay know. Anyway,
I think it's different. Anyway, we don't have much to go on other than
it's different, but it's just, I don't know, I feel like Diddy did it, we don't need to do it again.
Who knows? It's got Elizabeth Banks's name is thrown out there, so who knows. I like her in comedy. I don't know how she is as a producer. We'll see. Right,
well, let's throw my name at it, let me give it a go at it and make it better.
Let's see if it's bad first. Then you can say you can make it better, because I agree with you fully.
Well, I'm not saying make it better. I just say I don't care if anybody's name's thrown at it. If it's garbage and your name's on it, then it's still garbage with your name on it.
I guess we'll leave it with this. Best of wishes to Elizabeth Banks.
Hope it's not garbage. Hey-o.
Next show up, guys. A show called DMZ. Who's involved? Ava DuVernay, who has worked on projects as Selma and When They See Us, which was a short 4-episode miniseries about African American culture in the real world court system on Netflix. It was actually a pretty powerful, hard to watch series, very controversial. She'll direct and executive produce alongside with Roberto Patino, who worked on Westworld, and he will write the pilot, and they will serve as showrunners. So, but what it's about, it's actually based on a comic. DMZ is set in the future. The U.S. government fails to take domestic threats seriously, resulting in middle America residents violently rising up and pushing its way toward the edges of the country until they reach Manhattan, which becomes the country's DMZ. The comic focuses on Maddie Roth, an aspiring photojournalist tasked with telling stories from the DMZ. But when things go wrong and he loses his way off the island, he has to choose whether to try to escape or to stick around and document the chaos happening in the war zone. I am completely unfamiliar with the comic related to this, but the concept of the story, at least, sounds entertaining. Nicholas has probably heard of DMZ as far as comics go. It's unfortunate we don't have him here with us today. Shout out to you, Nick.
Whoa, shout out to Nick. Whoa. Also, Cloverfield.
Right.
Government failed to take heed to warnings, and then aliens, yeah. And
yep. Things guy happened.
Chooses to record it and document it.
Yes, it's not an entirely original story. However, the comic book may be older than we know. I don't know anything about it, unfortunately. Sorry, nerds. Just reporting on what's coming out.
Yeah, I'm not a DMZ fan. I apologize.
Yep.
Well, I not that I'm not a fan, I just haven't looked into it.
We haven't had the experience to speak on it, so apologies, nerds. Moving on, we have a show called Drama Queen, and the only reason I thought this was interesting is because of who's involved or heading it up. We have J.J. Abrams himself, who is producing. Yeah, I know. No, J.J. Abrams is known for rebooting the Star Trek movies. He did The Force Awakens, and he's returning to direct and finish Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Oh, and he directed and wrote Lost, the TV show Lost. He didn't finish it, but he started the show Lost. He's going to be co-producing alongside Ben Stephenson, who was involved in Castle Rock. Did you get a chance to see that Stephen King TV show that they spun out called Castle Rock?
I think we watched, Robin and I watched the first episode.
Yeah, the season got weird. It got kind of sci-fi-y towards the end. Me and Amy dropped off about 6 episodes in. I kept up with it a little bit, and they're launching season 2 this fall, or next spring. I can't remember when, but they're going ahead with season 2. So it's been a success, I guess. I liked what I saw, you know. But just to finish up what this crazy concoction is about, it's based on the childhood of TV Line's Michael Osieo. It's a single camera drama queen is set in the 1980s and centers on a closeted TV obsessed teenager who copes with the harsh realities and relative mundaneness of life in small-town New Jersey by escaping to an alternate soap opera universe of his own creation. Really interesting concept. Like, I love J.J. Abrams, and Ben Stephenson did amazing work with Castle Rock. This sounds like an interesting fictional twist on reality, where we've got this guy who's in the 1980s dealing with, I'm guessing, being gay and trying to hide that from the world, and to escape from those social, you know, accusations, he formulates a soap opera universe of his own creation. So that's kind of really interesting. Like, to hide away from the realities of being bullied for his life and what he's dealing with, he puts himself in a fictional soap opera. I'm curious how that's going to play out.
Imagine your life as a telenovela. Oh my God. That would be amazing.
Oh, and Drama Queen, that whole title makes sense, you know, after reading that.
Oh, that would be awesome. Come on, imagine it.
A telenovela. Super secret sexy Antonio meets up with Margaret, who's worked her ass off at the supermarket for 10 years, and she's looking for an escape. Sorry, that was a little... I haven't read any.
But Maria, who is also the flower girl at the same market, is secretly in love.
With her. And Antonio's getting in the way.
Yeah. Really weird sex triangle.
Yes. Anyway.
Tune in next to see if mother-in-law gets in the way. She's secretly in love with Antonio.
All right, guys. Well, next up in the lineup of original content from HBO Max, we have a show called Dune, The Sisterhood. That's punctuation there, folks. It doesn't actually say colon. That would be a really awkward topic to cover.
They can't about colon.
Yeah. The colon of the sister. What? No, it's a spinoff on the sci-fi fiction known as Dune, for anyone familiar with the older movies or the remakes that happened in the last 10 years. But this is a series, and who's involved? None other than Denis Villeneuve. Now, I would like to point out to our dear listeners, I have pronounced that perfectly for anyone who is French. Because when you look at his name, he's a pretty decent director. A lot of people go Denis Villeneuve or Denis Villeneuve. But I went ahead and I pre-screened a lot of these names for the next few things, because I always get corrected by Nick when I mispronounce people's names. I wanted to be on top of it, Lynn. So shout out to you, Nick. I did my due diligence. The director involved is Denis Villeneuve, who's also directing WB's two upcoming Dune movies, apparently, and is writing the series alongside John Spates, who's known for Prometheus and Doctor Strange. And Villeneuve will direct the pilot to this Dune Sisterhood series. What it's about: the series explores the future through the eyes of a mysterious order of women. And I did not read or know how to pronounce some of these fictional names, so I'll do my best, guys. It's based on an order of women known as the Bene Gesserit. Given abilities by their mastery of the body and mind, the Bene Gesserit expertly weave through the feudal politics and intrigue of the Imperium, pursuing plans of their own that will ultimately lead them to the enigmatic planet Arrakis, known to its inhabitants as Dune. Again, Dune fans, I apologize if the original name Arrakis is improperly pronounced, but it seems pretty self-explanatory. I liked the original Dune. I never caught up on the remakes. And I like Denis Villeneuve. He he's worked on some pretty interesting sci-fi in the past. So this is one of those things where I'll give it a shot. I'll try it out. You know what I mean? And he's working on two Dune movies in addition to the pilot for this show. So there's a lot of Dune fiction coming our way soon, Mr. Lin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as long as it's not like a one-for-one copy remake of the old stuff, I'm right. Cool.
I don't know about the movies, but this series looks like it's going to explore a different aspect of that fiction, so that's promising, you know?
I feel like it's laziness if somebody does a one-for-one almost recreation of something.
You know, to be fair, Lynn, I think our audience knows you well enough to both understand and respect your perspective as you delivered in our D23 coverage about Disney remakes.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah.
Hey,
I was a bit harsh there, and in all fairness, that's kind of where I stand, but...
But it's an opinion I respect, Lynn, and I understand your reasoning.
Yeah, and I mean, I respect everyone else's opinions that did love them, and that's great. I mean, you do you.
You do you. Disney's still making money.
Right? There you go.
Moving on, guys. This next series seems intriguing to me, mainly for the premise, but I'm also curious how this actress, who's mostly known for The Big Bang Theory, the Blondie love interest of Kaylee Cuoco, the blonde chick, the girl next door. Also did like me and Nick
the both stealing Sheldon's internet.
Yeah. me and Nick, shout out to him again, mispronounced her name both times when we mentioned her in our last episode. I while looking it up, she was interviewed by Ryan Seacrest on his podcast, and he's super professional, just like Chris Hardwick. Those guys look into the people they're talking to or interviewing. So like, he knows the celebrities and their names pretty well. And he brought her on board because one of his co-hosts, Ryan Seacrest's co-hosts, was talking about how much of a fangirl she was of Kaylee and what she stood for and how she's been in the media lately. And she also apologized for not being able to say her last name right. And Kaylee got on there, and they had her on air, and she said, "It's okay, I've dealt with my last name being mispronounced my whole life." She said, "You know, simple enough, I just tell people to call me Kaylee Cook, because it's easier." But Ryan Seacrest was calling her Cuoco, K-W-O, Cuoco. So that's how it's officially pronounced, but... The actress is pretty easy-hearted on it. You know, she's like, "Yeah, call me Cook. I don't care." So, Kaylee Cuoco, or Cook, from The Big Bang Theory, will executive produce with Uber producers Greg Berlanti and Sarah Schechter of the CW fame. Everyone knows, like, the Arrowverse and The Flash as being in the industry known as the Berlantiverse, because he is the head producer for all those superhero shows. This series is called The Flight Attendant, and Cuoco also stars alongside Rosie Perez from Men Can't Jump and Michelle Huisman, This one I had to look up. He's from Game of Thrones. He actually played the love interest to Dany, Daenerys Targaryen. But he was the recast love interest in like season 3 or 4.
Yeah.
You remember that when they did a little recasting out of nowhere? Yeah. And we're like, who's this guy?
The assassin with the daggers.
Yes.
Twinkie daggers.
And they recast him out of nowhere. And we're like, okay. We don't even... There's no... There's like, it's just... Okay, we're just going to accept it. So Michelle Huisman from Game of Thrones and Sayona Mizuno from Ex Machina, another great film, are all involved in this thriller known as The Flight Attendant. The Flight Attendant is a terrifying story of how an entire life can change in one night. Cassie, played by Kaylee, a flight attendant, wakes up in the wrong hotel, in the wrong bed, with a dead man, and no idea what happened. So that's all we got. We've got some actors that we like. We've got Greg Berlanti and Sarah Schechter.
You gotta hit it with the dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. Wrong hotel, wrong bed, dead man. Uh-oh. So Kaylee wakes up next to this guy, and we're going to spend an entire show exploring what she's going to do about it. Could be interesting, could be thrilling. I like everyone involved, so that's an original show I'm interested in checking out. Moving on, unless you have anything else to say. You can dig it?
I can dig it. As long as it doesn't get super cheesy and super cliche, that would be a good one. There needs to be, dare I say, a twist.
A twist? I think, there very well could be. And I hope there is.
It was actually her, and she's subliminally, hypnotized and certain
into thinking she's living a different life.
Yeah.
Oh, the sleeper agent kind of story. Who knows, dude? There you
go. All right.
Next show up, we've got a show called Generation. Who's involved? Daniel Barnes from Cake is writing and directing. From the article I read about this show, what?
You say Cake, but what is Cake?
I think like it's the band? Show. No, a I show? Think it's a show.
Okay.
Anyway, well, we're gonna skip over all this silliness and say that Daniel Barnes is writing and directing, though it seems like his 17-year-old daughter Zelda may actually be the creator and writer of the pilot, pending WGA approval. Dun, dun, dun. Justice Smith, Michael Johnston, Chloe East, Tink, Yuli Schlesinger, Nava Mao, Haley Sanchez, Nathania Alexander, Lakita Maxwell, Chase Sui Wonders, and Sam Trammell have been cast in this series. A long list of casts. Justice Smith, I know that individual. I think he's related to Will Smith. Or I could be wrong. Wait, no. Wait. Wasn't Justice Smith the dude from Pokemon? Remember that kid that played in Pokemon that I went on a tirade about when I was drunk? Yes, Justice Smith. He's like some 20-something-year-old African-American actor who played in Pokemon Pikachu Detective movie.
Dude, Detective Pikachu? I enjoyed him, though. Come on, now.
I'm not saying anything negative about it. It just it bubbles up feelings about that episode. Guys, go look up a few episodes ago. I went on a drunken tirade about Pokemon. However, let's see. Generations, let's see what it's about. It follows a group of high school students whose exploration of modern sexuality, and they put in parentheses here, devices and all, test deeply entrenched beliefs about life, love, and the nature of family in their conservative community. So this, Lynn, correct me if I'm wrong, sounds like it's going to be recovering a community of very conservative people, and we're going to see like kind of the nitty gritty dirty drama under the surface of what is seemingly a very conservative perspective. And with the title Generation, I get a feeling of our today's teens and youth versus our generation and how we grew up. I feel like there's going to be some drama conflict there that sounds fairly interesting, at least initially. So again, if like so many other services, we're going to be subscribed to this, we'll probably check out the pilot. You know, I guess we'll probably reconvene on our thoughts at a later point on that one, but there's some interesting concepts here.
He's not related, or so he claims, to Will Smith.
He claims he's not related. Did you look that up?
Yeah, he tweeted out that he's not Will Smith's son. Does not want people to come up to him talking to him about his supposed father.
I mean, okay, two things about that. If we're going to make a little side note about this, the last name Smith is kind of common. I grew up with a girl whose last name was Smith, and that girl ended up marrying a guy whose also last name ended up being Smith. Crazy irony. Matt knows who I'm talking about. Shout out to Matthew. but also, I get it. Okay, yes, his African American descent, and hey, Will Smith, hello. But we both know they only have two kids, Willow Smith and Jaden Smith, his daughter and son. And his son's been in several movies. His daughter's gotten into music. Blah blah blah. He doesn't have a third mysterious son that we're unaware of.
Yeah, no. This Justice actually has three brothers and four sisters.
There you go, guys. Completely unrelated. Yeah. So, you know what? Let's move on. It's all good.
Let's get it, kid.
Let's get it. This next show sounds interesting to me. It's called Genlock. But it's titled uniquely. It's the word gen. And then it has a colon, and then all caps the word lock, L-O-C-K. Like a lockdown, generation lockdown, something genetic. It sounds interesting.
Maybe like dot hack, where each season's related to something, the lock is related to something different.
Right. There could be two different meanings here, and it's definitely sci-fi and dystopian in nature. So let's get into this. So the people involved... The voice cast, so by saying voice cast, it sounds like this is going to be an animated series, includes Michael B. Jordan from Black Panther and the Creed films, Maisie Williams of Game of Thrones fame, Dakota Fanning from War of the Worlds. That's just kind of she's been in a handful of things, but that's kind of like the Tom Cruise, like, hey, you remember that little girl? That's Dakota Fanning. I could not find a pronunciation online for this gal's name, but she's from Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Lies. Her name is Golshifteh Farahani. I'm pronouncing it as I'm reading it. I apologize if I got that wrong. And one of our favorite British actors, Scottish, David Tennant from Jessica Jones and Doctor Who. He's Scottish, who plays a Brit in Doctor Who. And he does a damn good job of it.
Good Omens.
And was he? Oh, yes. I still need to see that.
He's also Scrooge McDuck in the new DuckTales TV show.
Oh, I knew that too. And that's good. I've seen samples of that show. It's a good show.
I enjoy that. Not going to lie. Guilty pleasure to watch with the kids.
I mean, side note, I kind of love the fact I grew up with the originals, but I love the fact that they give Huey, Dewey, and Louie actual unique voice actors rather than one actor playing all three of them.
Right.
It gives a little bit of distinction to their personalities as well by doing that. But let's look at what Genlock is about. It is set in a dystopian future Earth where an international coalition known as the Polity fights a hostile, autocratic invading force known as the Union. The show follows the Genlock, air quotes, Genlock program and its members, who participate in the development and testing of an experimental technology which allows for individuals with unique mental makeups to have their minds uploaded to giant suits of mecha armor. And a little side note here, it says the second so this sounds like it's something that's already been out there, and I didn't realize this. It says the second season of this animated series will debut on HBO Max before eventually becoming available on Rooster Teeth's digital platform. So that, just that statement alone, I didn't do a whole lot of research on each of these shows. I just pulled all this massive list from a couple articles. But that statement alone sounds like season one came from a Rooster Teeth original animated series. And so HBO Max got the rights to it or something like that. Or I think Warner Brothers owns Rooster Teeth. So you know what? You know, politics aside on IPs and everything, it sounds like we're going to see season two of an already established animated series. So I'm going to check it out, guys, and we'll come back to you at a later date about what that series is about, because I'm very intrigued by both the cast and just the concept of it and being an animated series. My personal two cents on it. Lynn?
No, I mean, I will
definitely... Something that interests you? Yeah.
Yes, that is something that greatly interests me. I mean, through...
Dude, it screams anime. I don't know if it is, but...
Previous endeavors that I have partaked in.
Have you seen the first season of this series at all?
Not that I can remember. I might have, and I don't remember it, but I don't know.
You've watched a lot of anime and stuff conceptually similar to that, so.
Yes, I definitely have. And I mean, I do quite frequently watch it with Lincoln and Emmett. Like, we're diving back into going through One Punch Man again.
Nice. Hey, on a side note, how did Fooly Cooly pan out? I know you talked about it a while ago. Did you finish it? Did you ever go back to it?
Yes, I have finished it. And
it's still fantastic.
I still love it, yeah.
Complete side note. Anime made me think of that because you raved so much about it.
Yes, and... It is Fooly Cooly. I mean, I apologize to everyone out there, but I am a fanboy for that series. And
you can't apologize here, dude. We're all about fandom on our show.
But yeah, that one's a good one. And if they ever decide to revisit Paranoia Agent, I'd hit that one too.
That's a good one too as well. I've seen a few episodes of that. I need to get into it. But let's move on. We have a few more shows to cover here of what's coming out in the original creation side of HBO Max. Guys, it's the show you didn't know you wanted. It's the Gossip Girl sequel. Oh my God. Okay, we won't spend any time on this. I will just explain what it's about for any of the fans out there that do care.
Gossip Girl.
I know. On the plus side, the original series writer and executive producer, Joshua Safran, is the creator and showrunner of this sequel show. So if not for nothing else, it's going to have continuity. Massive thumbs up from me and Lynn.
Be a little more shaky.
A little more shake-weighty. Overall premise, guys, is 8 years after the original website went dark, a new generation of New York private school teens are introduced to the social surveillance of Gossip Girl. The prestige series will address just how much social media and the landscape of New York itself has changed in the intervening years. Only thing I'll say about this, Lynn, is I will say I give it about as much hope as any of the other reunion shows that have surfaced in the last 5 years. I mean, Boy Meets World had Boy Meets Girl. They tried to pick that up. Full House from the 80s. Netflix made a Fuller House series, which had its ups and downs. It went about 4 seasons. Boy Meets Girl, unfortunately, got canceled. Fuller House is over.
Gilmore Girls had the reunion too.
Gilmore Girls did a reunion show. And what?
Roseanne.
That one, I would. On a quick side note, me and my wife Amy were actually very hopeful for that actually working.
Yeah.
We all love Roseanne Barr, and it just sucks because that's a thing we've touched on in the last few months about when you're in the industry as an actor and you run your mouth off on Twitter, shit happens.
You mean cancel culture?
Yeah, knee-jerk reactions. We've mentioned this multiple times, if not in this episode already. And it sucks.
Heaven forbid anyone have a personal opinion or make jokes anymore.
You know, and I don't want to waste too much time on it. I just want to throw this out. I don't know if anyone said it, but guys can look it up online. Roseanne came out and made statements that not apologizing so much as just explaining, hey, she was literally drunk or high and it was late at night when she literally made those statements. She admitted it. That's why I freaking love Roseanne. She doesn't shy away from admitting to her real human nature. She was drunk something. She's honest. And it sucks what happened to her. You guys, it's been over the media. You guys know about it. That's our thoughts are it sucks, I think, collectively. And we'll just have to move on. But, you know, props to you, Gossip Girl. Good luck. Hope it works out. Next little side one that I wanted to mention that I think could be interesting. Is a Grease spinoff from the 1980s film with John Travolta. It's called Grease Rydell High. Currently, no details on who's involved. It's kind of one of those, it's a project, but they haven't put out anything else. We do have a premise. And what HBO Max is claiming is that it's going to be, quote, a joyous musical series set in and around the world of Rydell High. The show reimagines the global smash hit movie with some characters you already know and a whole lot more you will soon meet. It's still the 1950s, a world that rocks with big musical numbers from the period combined with new original songs as well. It's the peer pressure of high school, the horrors of puberty, the roller coaster of life in middle America with a modern sense. Here's what gets me, Lynn. With a modern sensibility that will bring it to life for today's musical lovers. Now, I don't mean to be a cynic here. No, I do. I fully mean to be a cynic. You're taking a 1950s era set piece musical that was a huge blockbuster hit, and then you throw in the word modern sensibility to bring it to life for today's musical lovers. I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to turn that into a topic. I just shun and shudder at the fact that they're taking something classical and probably mixing in some modern crap that's possibly going to take away from what it is or what it was. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to throw this into a topical deep discussion or anything. And I think you agree, Lynn.
I will agree with you, and I will give it 5 episodes. I mean, they'll probably run it longer than that, but
that's generous. 5 episodes. That's generous. I will watch the pilot.
I mean,
and Grease, see if it turns me or not.
Grease was great. Grease 2 was meh. It's Grease.
I can't speak on that, but I will agree with you. The original is fantastic.
But no, they need to stop trying to go back and milking old IPs for nowadays.
Yeah. If they're going to, don't take away from what made it a timepiece, because that to me is the biggest error in bringing back old stuff.
That's what made it a cult classic, was the fact that it is from a time that era.
Yeah,
it's legitimately from there. Like, well, not necessarily legitimately from the era, but
it was made in the 80s, but it was based in the 50s,
right? And it It didn't try to put a modern spin on things. Just saying.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't take the 50s and try to make it culturally acceptable for the 80s. And not seeing that the 80s were, I won't even go into it. The point is, we live in a turn of the century, millennial, blah, blah, blah. Everything good for everyone mindset.
What I'm saying is the 80s didn't have the doo-wop to do shaboop, shaboop, shabop. And they stayed true to the era. So,
reason, right?
Right? And it was the music genre, the culture style, and just the way things were back in the day. And that's why it was great.
Yep. Leave it there. Leave it in its time.
That's why I said I give it 5.
Yeah. We're good. All right. Fair enough. Next show up for bids. This has also hit a nostalgia chord. Gremlins. Secrets of the Mogwai. Who's involved? Tiza Di Chun. A Chinese writer. What?
Who's involved? You said who's involved? My 2-year-old. He's a gremlin.
True. And a wonderful Chinese actor producer known as Tiza Di Chun, who's worked on such titles as Gotham and Once Upon a Time. I've not invested heavily into either of those, but I have enjoyed both of those franchises for what they offered. He will write and executive produce Gremlins: Secrets of the Mogwai. And the premise for this is that it says the potential series is said to be a period piece that would follow Mr. Wing, the Chinese grandfather, played in the films by Ki Luke, as a young man as he goes on adventures with the friendly Mogwai Gizmo. So it's like it's a prequel to the Gremlins proper. So, you know what? I don't know. It's something to potentially look forward to. Could be fun. As Lynn shrugs his shoulders. Could be fun. But
I mean, you can't knock it till you try it, and then once you try it and you find that it's not worth it, then you can knock it. Hey,
we'll leave it there. I like your plan of attack, Lynn.
I go back to my Twitter handle of pay to have fun and make yours better. That's where it's at.
Always, even in remakes, reboots and prequels, you know what? Make it better. Absolutely. Let's see. Next up, nothing is known about this, but I appreciate that they're putting out series from animated nostalgic areas in a lot of our lives. There is a line of animated series going under the title of Jellystone. I don't know what that means, but it's about classic Hanna-Barbera cartoon characters who join up for some new adventures. So that could be fun. Don't know who's involved. It's just kind of a title thrown out there by HBO Max.
Is it gonna be like Babar characters revisited?
No. Like Hanna-Barbera comes from the Jetsons. The Flintstones.
Okay.
That era of cartoons.
Yeah.
So that could be cool. That could be fun.
I didn't mean to say Babar. We were talking about HBO and
hey, you know what? You got your 2-year-old next to you, I understand.
HBO is Babar. That's what Babar the elephant.
The elephant, yeah. No. But now you know what I'm talking about. Hanna-Barbera. Classic cartoons. It's kind of around the same time as the Looney Tunes era. So that could be fun. Moving on, we have
Gorilla and Huckleberry Hound.
Exactly. I got to throw this out there for two reasons. This next show called Little Ellen, and the reason I threw it out there is because I adore the woman, Ellen DeGeneres, and I adore anything she's involved in. And as it happens, she's going to executive produce this animated series where we take a look at Little Ellen in a 2D animated children's show that explores the world through the eyes of a hilarious and unpredictable 7-year-old, Ellen DeGeneres, on her adventures in her musical hometown of New Orleans. Little Ellen takes big risks, and makes big mistakes, but she's always able to laugh at herself and bounce back when things don't go as planned. I feel this show, out of all the ones we've mentioned and how we talk about old IPs trying to play on the hearts of this generation and making it modern, I think with Ellen, this is a no-brainer. She is all about surviving the modern world of being different from everyone. I don't remember the exact date, so I apologize, fans of Ellen, but like, she's been married and with her partner for 20 plus years, you know. She's lived in an industry where homosexuality was unaccepted, and she still made it into the industry. She still made a name for herself. And yeah, she's a huge advocate for herself and anyone like her who's also dealt with the same struggles. So I think there's going to be no question that this is going to touch on the hearts of the current landscape of 2019, 2020, of just talking to the modern day person, and especially from the perspective of a young kid. And it's going to be animated, so I don't know. I like her humor. I love her heart. She's a really good person. She could be fun. This could be fun. I mean, I don't know.
Even in this show, I don't know if you necessarily need to go into it thinking that there's an ulterior agenda, but it'll be, I know what you're saying. No, but I'm saying,
oh, I'm not arguing with you. Yeah.
I mean, go into it thinking that it is a children's show focused on music, dance, and like theater, and that's where I think that's where this show will land, is like a children's educational show focused on growing towards music, you know, dance and theater. So
I only said what I said because everyone knows who Ellen DeGeneres is, and Lynn, I do agree with you. I think, based on the premise, talking about her taking big risks, big mistakes, and it talking about her living in the hometown of New Orleans with music and everything, I think there will definitely be some life lessons throughout the show. I think it has the potential for being very innocent, and I hope it sticks to that idea. I think Ellen is a great personality and platform to jettison strong ideals in a child's mindscape, not, you know, take the politics and the lifestyles and everything else out of it. But if we just talk about the heart of how she grew up and what she struggled with, trying to make a name for herself in an industry saturated with the male mindset, I think this has a lot of potential.
I mean, even in the past few months, she's tried to separate herself from being necessarily chained to what she's
an advocate for her personal life versus
what she's tried to strive herself to is, you know, the music, the dance, and her personality is what she's tried to strive to be, and not necessarily what everyone chains her to.
Right. The rest of the world tries to weigh her down with, you live this way, you make these choices, what does that say about you? And she's always been an advocate for making a name for yourself.
Yeah, but they're trying to link her to her life choices, and you can't do that. And I think that's where the show's going to go, is just, you know, hey, music's great. Hey, dance is great. Hey, you know, enjoy life. Life is great.
I think that's absolutely agree. And the premise says it's going to take on she's going to take on the persona of a 7-year-old self. And I think that's, you know, my oldest daughter is 8. Your oldest boy is almost 7. I think that's kind of I absolutely agree. If nothing else, let's hit up the next one that also sounds like a lot of fun. From the previous one where we talked about Hanna-Barbera classic cartoons.
Sorry. Juju says, it'll be great.
I love you, Jude, Mr. 2-year-old speaking his mind. side note, all you listeners out there, Mr. Lin has a very under the weather 2-year-old son laying next to him as we record, and he, in my opinion, speaks nothing but inspiration. There he is, briefly on camera. If you guys are on YouTube, you'll see this sweet little 2-year-old. He's got a very inspiring heart. and the poor little guy is sick too, so he's trying to rest. I think Jude might like this next show that we jump into, Mr. Lin. We've got some HBO Max is going to bring us some more Looney Tunes cartoons. Yeah, yeah. Who's involved? Well, Pete Braungart from Adventure Time. You are familiar with Adventure Time, Lin. He's developing this new version of the iconic cartoon characters from Looney Tunes fame. I know, dude. Which will feature the talent voice actors Eric Bauza and Jeff Bergman, and more to come. The overall, what it's about, right? That was Lynn's excited face. The ongoing adventures of wacky characters like Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Elmer Fudd, Marvin the Martian, and the rest of the gang. We're going to get some classic Looney Tunes cartoons coming back in original form with interesting new ideas from the brainchild of Adventure Time. I can think of
Yosemite Sam. Come on now.
Hey, they said rest of the gang. And rest of the gang. I'm sure they'll be there. I'm sure they'll be in there, dude. You can't skip out on the Tasmanian Devil if you've got the bunny, the duck, and the hunter. Not to mention the Martian. Might skip to a couple that seem prevalent to talk about. I'm going to jump down to a show called Rules of Magic. Who's involved? Melissa Rosenberg, who worked on Jessica Jones from the Netflix original Marvel series. She will write and executive produce this show called Rules of Magic. What it's about? It's a prequel to the 1998 movie Practical Magic. This series is based on Practical Magic author Alice Hoffman's book Rules of Magic, which is set in the 1960s New York City. The series follows 3 troubled siblings, Fanny, Jet, and Vincent Owens, who wrestle with abnormalities that have kept them isolated. But the tumultuous time unearthed the extraordinary discovery that they are, in fact, descendants of a bloodline of witches. The two sisters will become the revered and sometimes feared aunts in Practical Magic, where their brother will leave an unexpected legacy. Now, I don't have any history with Alice Hoffman's book Rules of Magic, which is set in the 60s. And also, sadly, nerds, I have not seen the 1998 film Practical Magic. But this show promises to be a prequel based on these properties. And forgive me, I'm still excited just based on the premise. I like the idea that we're taking like a high fantasy, witchcrafty, magical take of a prequel based on three kids discovering their abilities and such. And this is going to be an original series on HBO Max called Rules of Magic. You know, guys, throw down a comment or two down on our YouTube channel or on our social media and give us some perspective if you guys know more about this series. But I myself am, I will definitely be checking this show out when it comes out. What do you, Lynn, do you have any thoughts on this one? I like the idea.
I don't know if I'll end up checking it out or not, but it does sound like a good premise. I will give it that.
I'll say this, Lynn. I'll check it out, and then I'll give you the thumbs up if you should definitely check it out or not.
Sounds like a plan, I guess.
Well, I mean, or you hit it up on your own. I don't know. I thought this was one that might be interesting. So, a couple more. I'm going to... Guys, we've been running pretty long on the tooth on this, and I like to be thorough with our coverage, but to be honest, I'm going to list off a couple more, and then I think we'll probably wrap up tonight's episode. We'll do some... let me wrap up the last couple shows here that I think could be fun or interesting and family-friendly regarding HBO Max. We have here... Sesame Street and multiple spin-offs based on Sesame Street. So, who's involved? Well, of course.
Whoa.
What?
Hold on. Do they have the Monster Hotel one? The spin-off?
I'm not sure about Monster Hotel. Have you heard about this? Is that like a news thing you've heard?
No, it's one that's been running for a while now.
Okay, well, you know what?
It's on HBO.
It could be something they visit. Let me read through who's involved and what it's about.
Go for it. Sorry. Just screw up the flow.
You're not, Lynn. It's just you and me. We are the flow. Our back and forth makes the flow, man. So, who... The big names. Right.
Big Bird, Elmo, Cookie Monster.
Okay. Big Bird, Grover, Elmo, and here the article says all your faves.
Oscar the Grouch.
So we have to imagine my favorite Oscar is going to be involved, right?
But what about Bert and Ernie? Come on now, Bert and Ernie are great.
So here's what we know about the Sesame Street continuation part and the spinoffs related. We are going to get new episodes of the flagship show, and they will premiere on HBO Max before. Catch this, guys. If you're hardcore Sesame Street fans and you want to be a subscriber here and get it first, you will get premiere episodes of Sesame Street before airing for free, I know, on the PBS Kids show. So, like, if you want to wait and get it for free, you will eventually, or you could get them first on HBO Max. But continuing, hold on, let me keep selling you, Lynn. The notable thing here is that the streaming service is also getting four new spinoffs and a new annual special. So you got to be invested for more than a year to see at least more than one special. But let me explain before you shut me down. Let me explain what they entail. Of these spinoffs, we have a title called The Not Too Late Show with Elmo. It's a live action celebrity interview show with Elmo as the host, and that makes sense. The Not Too Late Show, because it's for kids. Come on now, we can't have.
They're giving They're giving Elmo's World its own show?
A talk show, no less, where he talks to celebrities. That alone I will actually watch, just to see how that goes.
All right. Let's continue. What's up?
Then we have an untitled documentary series aimed at kids and families, and it will be building off Sesame Workshop's expertise in tackling difficult issues from a child's perspective. We can imagine probably
how I'm going to acquire my next juice box from the refrigerator.
Wow, you took it really light there.
I didn't want to get dark like you did.
I was thinking, well,
that's pretty deep, my guy.
I mean, it is, but like Sesame Street has always dealt with like real family issues. I mean, if you go back in the books, man, on the show, they've talked about divorce and adoption and dealing with families and ethnicities and race. They've covered a lot of things, dude.
Entering the family that's not.
The family that's not yours, but is. They've covered a lot of topics, dude. I mean, Sesame Street can get deep.
Go on. Sesame Street was woke before woke was cool.
That's right. Sesame Street's been woke for 40 years, my dude. So, then we've got, it says, Mecha Builders will feature the Sesame Street characters in robot animation style. Weird. That's a little anime spinoff series on its own.
I'm gonna lie, I'll probably check that one out.
You might want to. It might be fun. And the existing series, Esme and Roy, will debut new episodes on the service and have its first season available on the platform as well. Interesting. I don't know anything about Esme and Roy, but it's a show that's already been going on and will continue on HBO Max. So that's four spinoffs of Jim Henson's Muppet characters in Sesame Street tackling four different series in addition to Sesame Street proper.
The one that I was talking about that is also Sesame Street, which is Elmo and the Little Fairy Girl, is called The Furchester Hotel. That is the one that I was talking about. And that one began airing in 2014 to present day.
So in the last 5 years, yeah.
Yeah. And that's the one that I'm at.
All right. Fair enough. So just wanted to throw that out there for a little salt and pepper flavor in our list of things coming out that could apply to a lot of super fans or people our age that have kids.
I would check it out whether or not I had kids or not. I'm not even ashamed, but I grew up on Sesame Street.
Fair enough. Couple more here.
Okay.
We've got a show called The Shelley Society. It involves Robert Aguirre-Sacasa, who is heavily involved with Riverdale and The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Both shows I deeply adore. He will serve as showrunner, and while Riverdale writers Tessa Lee Williams and James DeWill will co-write the pilot with him and will also executive produce. So we've got the big heads from Riverdale and The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, so that intrigues me by itself. The show is a mashup of gothic horror and teen romance. The series is being described as a Victorian X-Files. Young author Mary Shelley leads a band of romantic outlaws, among them her lovers Percy and Lord Byron, against all manner of supernatural threats and monsters, including Frankenstein author Shelley's own iconic creature. I would just throw this out there. Like, it may not pick your interest, Lynn. I respect that. But, like, I love me some supernatural teen drama, and this with Riverdale and Sabrina written all over this thing, I'm going to check out the Shelley Society. I'm just saying, I will probably heavily invest in it if it's got those people involved.
Hey, here's where I'm going with this. If they're claiming that it's from Victorian era, and there's not powdered wigs and white face paint, I'm out.
There's gonna be that, dude. There's gonna be some of it. Don't you worry, man. Victorian X-Files, come on, man. That's some next level shit. It's gonna hit a sweet spot for some people.
Under that guidelines, I expect it to run like freaking Doctor Who with wigs. Let's go.
I hope so, and I know exactly what you mean when you say that. Absolutely. Rounding out the last two original series. I'm just gonna list off one last one that I think is interesting that might pique our interest. Following on the off the coattails of Hanna-Barbera and Looney Tunes, we have a series called Tuned Out. Who's involved? One name, Robert Zemeckis. I love Robert Zemeckis. The show is an inspired new series from visionary Bob Zemeckis called, in the vein of Bob's classic, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? That's where he's from, guys, if you didn't know who he was. It's called Tuned Out, which merges animation and live action, but with the cast of Looney Tunes characters. Mind blown. Very curious. Give it to me. Let's see what happens. So we're taking the concept of Roger Rabbit, and we're taking our infamous characters from Looney Tunes, and we're making a series out of it. Okay, sign me up. I'll check it out.
Yeah, for sure.
Nothing more to say about that. We don't know. Like, it's probably going to be some noir, some detective work, and we're going to have some of our favorite Looney Tunes characters involved.
I'd hope so.
That's what I get from it, dude. That's what I get from it, and I'm excited for it. There's three or four other shows we didn't list here that could be interesting. We'll cover them at a later time if they prove to be interesting. But guys, there's 31 original shows being put out in the first year that this launches, and this launches, I think, by May of next year. I don't have the energy or time to go into some of these, but there's about 8 or 9 more Max original shows, but they are all reality or docuseries. We'll I'll name the titles, and I'll let our listeners play the guessing game of what they could be about. And Lynn, if one of them sticks out and you have to know what it's about, stop me. But I'm going to list off just the titles, and we'll leave it at that. So we have a show called 15 Minutes of Shame. Next show, Birth, Wedding, Funeral. Oh, wow. Brad and Gary go to ... We have a fun one with Conan O'Brien called the Conan O'Brien Comedy Specials. So that's pretty self-explanatory.
I'd hit that one. Yeah.
Yeah, without even going into it, it's a one-hour specials with comics, and it's headlined by Conan O'Brien. That's sold.
Conan O'Brien, let's go.
We have one called Craftopia. And it involves 9 to 15-year-old contestants. I'll leave it at that. It's about crafting. Craftopia.
Is it nailed it for kids?
I think so. Okay. What it's about. Described as an epic kids crafting competition show hosted and executive produced by Rahimaki, who was deemed the, quote, millennial Martha Stewart by Forbes. Wow. Yeah, and it involves 9 to 15-year-old contestants who put their imaginations to the test, make their crafting dreams come true in a magical studio. After racing to fill up their carts with inspiring materials from the studio store, crafters meet larger-than-life challenges, making the most amazing creations the world has ever seen. Dun-dun-dun. That's the show. Next couple shows, Ellen's Home Design Challenge. And yes, it involves Ellen DeGeneres. Enough said. I think enough said on that. Another one called Equal, and I only want to read into this a little bit because it involves producer Greg Berlanti from the CW with Big Bang Theory's Jim Parsons, who plays Sheldon in the show, who will be producing this. And it's only a four-part project that chronicles landmark events and forgotten heroes of the LGBTQ plus sign movement. Each hour-long episode brings to life the stakes and deadlines of historical events that have not yet been given their due. The series will feature high-end reenactments and never-before-seen footage, and it'll capture the emotions of the times with messages just as relevant as today. Isn't it about today? I'm confused. The episodes will focus on Harry Hay, the daughters of Bilitis, Christine Jorgensen, Bayard Rustin, and the fourth episode will center on the Stonewall Riots and the first ever Pride event held the year afterward. Very interesting. I understand why Jim... Side note, I understand why Jim Parsons is involved, because fans not in the know, Jim Parsons is actually gay, and I think he's married to his partner. I'm not sure. So it makes sense that he'd, you know, maybe be involved with this kind of thing. Greg Berlanti is... I love him as a producer. It's an interesting duo. I don't know. It's only a four-part series, so that's interesting and very much of its time. So, fair enough. Give it a good shake, HBO. Let's see what comes of it. The last couple ones, just title-based only. One's called Finding Einstein. And yes, it's very much a looking for geniuses in the world type of a reality show. Next one is called First Dates Hotel. It's another Ellen DeGeneres produced one, but it's kind of a dating show, but she's producing it. Last few here, we've got one called Full Bloom. Incredible artistic creations. Floristry face-offs. Full Bloom will allow audiences to escape into a surreal world of contestants as contestants design and execute some of the most wondrous floral creations ever. So this is a for all you planters out there, we've got one called Full Bloom. Generation Hustle. This is a 10-part HBO Max original from CNN. From the CNN original series about the lengths young people go for fame, fortune, and power. Next one is The Greatest Space. 10-episode design competition where professional interior designers travel the world to transform spaces from ballrooms to bedrooms to treehouses and everything in between. Heaven's Gate. HBO Max original from CNN original series that explores the infamous religious movements and the stranger than fiction circumstances that culminated in the biggest mass suicide to ever take place on U.S. soil. It is a raw, honest depiction of the shared experiences of those directly involved with the group and those closely affected by it. That's crazy.
Damn.
Some crazy religious cult that involved one of the biggest mass suicides ever. Crazy. We're at the end here. Last couple. The Hose. Yeah, it's actually a person with... bang my mic. It's about the lavish lifestyles involved with a family patriarch known as Bin Ho and his wife Hugh Ho. So it's literally about a family. God dang it, the play on words there. Way to go, HBO. I'm not gonna touch that. Karma. It's It's an hour-long adventure competition series hosted by extreme lifestyle enthusiast Care. It'll take 16 contestants ranging from ages 12 to 15, completely off the grid to solve puzzles and overcome physical challenges. With the laws of karma setting the rules, the series will test the mental and physical stamina of its young contestants. Yada, yada, yada. It's a fortuitous adventure with young kids. And the last original docuseries or reality show is called Legendary. It's from the producers of the new Queer Eye series. It's a reality competition show set in the world of voguing and, quote, will feature 10 houses, each comprised of 5 performers and a house parent competing in a round-robin format. Each episode will document a themed ball from start to finish. It sounds very Femme Fatale, heavy on the femme. Don't know. But, guys, that right there is like the 10-plus documentary reality shows on top of the 20-plus original sci-fi action drama series coming, for a total 31 series coming to HBO Max. That's, and that aside from the everything that Warner Media owns and the promise of 10,000 hours of content upon launch day, I think over between Disney Plus and Amazon Prime, I think Warner Media's Lynn carries a pretty strong starting line for truly offering some potential competition in the streaming wars. Do you agree?
Yeah, I can see it.
There's a lot there. They're coming in hard and heavy on launch day, dude.
Well, they got to. You got to make yours better.
Exactly. Your philosophy holds true with their plan of action.
Yeah.
Damn. I mean, whew, there's a lot there. I know I read off a whole bunch at the end there. I just kind of wanted to get it out there so our listeners could get the scope of what's coming. But man, there's a healthy amount that they're offering it, and not all on day one, but they're promising in the first 12 months, the whole first year, all these shows will completely be launched before the end of the first year. That's still pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is.
Damn. On top of, and they got Friends and The Big Bang Theory with all the seasons launching on day one in their, you know, their catalog of shows. So, you know, if you're not, man, if you need your Friends or Big Bang Theory fix, they've got it for, they'll have it for you. And we still don't know what will become of DC Universe in the convening months, because we haven't done a lot of reporting on it, but they canceled the Swamp Thing and they cut the season short because of budgetary reasons. And DC Universe has done a lot of heavy lifting with trying to put out high budget adult based DC comic series. And they're still holding strong with Titans season 2. They're still gonna come at us with what was that other spinoff series? Dang it, Nick, I wish you were here. Doom Patrol. They're still bringing season 2 of Doom Patrol. Harley Quinn, which me and Nick covered last episode, that's coming in full force, a 2-season order of that. I'm just wondering, I know the numbers aren't strong enough to keep them going long-term subscription-wise, because there's such a focused niche service where if you're not a DC fan, you probably won't come to the service. So it makes me wonder, like, if HBO, if Warner Brothers, Warner Media is gonna package deal DC Universe, or if in the next year, if they're gonna merge with, you know, Warner Media, because Warner Brothers owns all of it, but on its own, DC Universe is not. It's an amazing service. I can get so many comic books and fun shows from it, but it's not strong enough to stay afloat long term. So my concluding thoughts are, I hope they don't get rid of it, and at the very least, I hope they can find a way to either package deal it with HBO Max or eventually merge it, you know?
Yeah.
And keep it all there, you know what I mean? That would be awesome. But Lynn, dude, we have gone long form on this episode. Just the two of us. We tried, nerds. We were trying to get our other co-hosts in during this, the interim of recording this, and it ended up just being us, dude. And I think, on a side note, I would like to say, hold on, Addy, go sit down. right at the end here, Lynn. I would like to say, I think this episode will probably hold the record for being the longest recorded episode that just you and me have done.
Yeah,
because I don't know total, but I think we're at the 2 hour mark minimum. Like, even if I cut out some of the BS in between the recording start and finishes, but I think we're at 2 hours at least, and pretty close, which I'm proud of, dude. I'm proud that you and me were able to maintain this long. We covered a lot.
Yeah, we did.
So, for the sake of your sick child and my child, who's decided to wake up in the middle of the night, I think now, Lynn, nerds, it's a good time for us to just wrap up. We will definitely be coming back at you next weekend with the other hosts, Nick and Matt, and we will be covering some heavy gaming topics next week for sure. A little teaser there for you guys. I'm going to throw out two things real quick. Since if you guys made it to the end of the episode, props, leave a comment down below and let us know that you made it to the end. And if you're listening to audio, guys, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook. You know, let us know. We'll make some comments about it next episode. But you guys can check out everything across the world. If you are listening to us on audio, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, or iTunes podcasts, and anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. And if you want to watch the video, go to youtube.com and look up Nerdentials. You can see our ugly mugs in action. And for everything else, including written articles, reviews, and gameplay, go to nerdentialsmedia.com. Sorry, Lynn. I only paused. Oh, no. Are you frozen? Okay. I'm just going to end it and hope that you're still there and end the recording and hope the recording survives. For me, myself, and Lynn, nerds, we will see you on the other side.